volumes to me because I'm a relational kind of person. I like to see things in the context of real life and not just in theology. And a lot of times the incarnation is so theological, I miss the connection with my heart. And so the quickest way for me to feel what it is the incarnation means is to see a video like this and think of, you know, a heavenly Father who will not stop at anything to show how much he loves his kids. He will not stop at anything. That speaks volumes to me because I think the struggle we have as his kids, as his creation, is shame and guilt and all the other junk. And even if you're a Christian, the attack of the enemy is to come and kind of throw all that junk back on you. And to give you that so you just carry it and it's needless. You don't need to carry it because your heavenly Father has not spared a single thing in his love for us. And so the scripture tells us, and this is kind of the most important point of this, if God the Father didn't hesitate or spare or hold anything back, he even gave his only begotten Son to us, what good thing would he withhold from us right now at this very moment? And if he continued to give to us before we knew him, what would ever convince us that he would stop giving to you today? Is there any reason that's justifiable for you and I to believe the lie, that God has given all he's going to give to you? He's done everything he's going to do for you. His goodness has run out for you. You used up all his grace. You used up all his empowerment already. Why would we ever believe that lie? It's a lie. The truth is, if Jesus is the living proof that God would spare nothing, then everything beyond that is just, that's just icing on the cake. Power for today, God will give it to you. Strength for your physical body, God will give it to you. Help, even though you don't deserve it, that's good too. That's thrown in there. There's like gift upon gift upon gift. And you know what? The funny thing is Christmas for our family comes once a year. But Christmas in God's theology is every single day, moment upon moment upon moment. It's the perpetual gift. You open it and you go, hey, that's awesome. I love it. And then you're like, oh, another song. And you open it. It's more. It's grace upon grace. It's strength upon strength. Mercy upon mercy. New every morning. I don't know about you, but there are days where the only reason I'll open my eyes and say good morning is because I know there's a gift waiting for me the minute I open my eyes. And it's mercy, new every morning. It's better than my coffee in the morning, and it takes a lot to be better than my coffee in the morning. It really does. But you know what? Mercy, new every single morning. God's loving kindness is so overwhelming. When we lived in the valley in California, outside of our kitchen, you could see all of the Sierras. You see all the Sierras. And there would be times where there would be fog and stuff and you couldn't see it. And then there'd be other days where it'd be clear and you could see the peaks. And there were many times where you could see some of the peaks and there would be snow on top of the peaks. And it was just so gorgeous. And I loved sitting there and having my coffee. There was a swing on the back and I would sit out there. I'd have my Bible and all that kind of stuff. And you know what I think of when I see mountains that are so majestic and beautiful? I'm reminded often of what the psalmist says and what we hear in scripture, that God's faithfulness is like that. Mighty mountain. What a gift. It's so big, we could never exhaust it. And so the thing I want us to remember is this. Christmas should be a reminder that God isn't done giving to you. He's not done giving to you. I want you to think about that for a second. Every single one of you, you haven't got it all yet. There's more. There is more that God wants to give to you. And the basis for why you got what you got already is still the basis for everything you're going to get. He just favors you. That's it. And you don't deserve it either. Sorry, John. You can't earn it. You're just going to get it because you're his favorite. But so are you, Ann. You're his favorite. Bob, yep, you're his favorite too. Mary, yep, you're his favorite. I'm sorry. Trish, I'm not so sure about you. No, I just had to do that because it's so funny. So you're his favorite too. I know. This is such a wonderful kind of freedom. And it's amazing how the first step that the enemy takes is to cause a little bit of doubt in that. Like, you have a bad day and somehow that changes the way God feels about you. You let a curse word slip and you know you shouldn't, but you did. What, is God suddenly not going to give now? That's not the way God works, is it? Every day, he just gives more and more and more. Now, here's where I personally get excited about this. See, I've been walking with the Lord for quite some time. You've probably been walking with the Lord for quite some time too. And one of the things that keeps me putting one foot in front of the other is I haven't seen anything yet. I haven't seen anything yet. I've seen miracles. I've seen dramatic things, stuff that is not explained by the physical, because God is a miracle working God. He's supernatural. I look at that stuff and I think every one of the pile of testimonies that I could stack up here today and say, that is everything God has done up till now. A lot of us could look at that pile of awesome testimonies and say, now that's awesome. You know, if you never do another thing for Ben, hey, that's great. You don't have a reason to complain. But I look at that and I think, that's just the prelude. We haven't even got started yet. What else do you want to do, God? What else do you want to do in me, through me? What else do you want to do in the people of the church? What else do you want to do on this earth? God is not done showing up and doing great things on the earth. It isn't over yet. Christmas is a reminder that God hasn't given up on giving good gifts. He sent his son. And then after he left, he said, I'm only leaving so I could send another good gift, the Holy Spirit. And he sends the Holy Spirit, and then he says, and as the church, I want you to eager more gifts. I want you to eager every good gift. You just want it more and more. If you want prophecy, you want to prophesy, then you just start praying, God, I want to be a prophet. I want to prophesy. Please tell me what my wife is going to do this year for Christmas. Please tell me. You know, and whatever it is. So, I mean, I want the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, you know, whatever it might be. I want more grace. I want more mercy. I want to be more generous, Lord. I want to see things. I want to know things. I want to, whatever it is. That was a dramatic moment just then. So, man, God is shaking up the house. And all of this is because God favors us. How do I know this? Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read just a small section of this story. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, I'm going to read a little over 10 verses. And it says, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. That's the sixth month of actually someone else's pregnancy. But comes to Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, the angel said this, Hail, favored one! How come we don't talk like that anymore? Hail, daughter. Hello, spouse. You know, or I'm sorry, hail, spouse, favored one. The Lord is with you. Verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might mean. And the angel said to her, Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, Well, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel answered to her, Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overpower you. He will shadow you. And the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the holy offspring will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Well, behold, your bondslave, O Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Twice in this scripture, Mary is told she has found favor with God, that she's favored. And there's things that I can't help but notice as the Holy Spirit just highlights them to me when I read this section of scripture, and I'm familiar with this. You're familiar with this story. It's Christmas. Come on. We hear this all the time. It's in kids' books, right? But when we look at this, the scripture is living and active. And I look at it, and I think the very first thing is this. Now in the sixth month, the angel comes to a girl who is obscure and hidden. She doesn't even get a name until this. She's just somebody, anybody. She's just some girl in a small town in some obscure place. That's it. And you know, the funny thing is often we dismiss ourselves from what God might do or what he has said in scripture because, well, obviously it must apply to the great, to someone even doing spectacular things. It wouldn't possibly be that it's applicable to me. I mean, I honestly, even in the real world, I don't think tomorrow I'm going to win the lottery. Well, for one, I don't buy lottery tickets, so I probably wouldn't win it that way. But even if I did buy a lottery ticket, I would know that I'm just throwing away my money because I do not expect to win. And often when it comes to God, I treat it like a lottery. Maybe you treat it like a lottery. You read something in Scripture, a promise. You read the Psalms and you go, oh man, for those who fear the Lord, God's going to be this. And he's going to do this in their family and this in the world. And you go, if I win the lottery. But for me, it's just money wasted, you know? See, I think we dismiss ourselves as insignificant and obsolete. Maybe we're not as good. We're not as popular with God as someone else. I want you to know that this story, when it says you have found favor, it is proved because God hunts you in your obscurity. You can't hide from his favor. You can't hide, Pam. You cannot hide from the favor of God. He's watching you, isn't he? Every single day. Look at that. Like, everybody's looking like, oh, yeah, God's on you, girl. That's right. That is right. You can make your bed anywhere in the world, but God knows where you're at. And he's hunting you down, and he's hunting you down not to beat you up and to shame you. He's hunting you down so he can say, I've called you by name to do something awesome in you. I want to favor you. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. See, any one of those can be our excuse, right? Well, I'm too little and I'm too young. God can't use me. Okay, Josiah, young king, about to cause a reformation, a revival in your country and in your nation. God can do that with every Morgan Pagel in the world, right? She's like, really, who's that? And if you're really old, like Steve, you know, I'm so sorry. See, he needs encouragement because I call him friend. That's really what you need to back him up. He needs all the help he can get because he knows me. That's no escape either. See, God doesn't look at our age and he says, disqualified. Well, I hope for a middle-aged, perfect-looking person who is without blemish, spot or... No, that was Jesus. We killed him. God just wants all the imperfect ones. All the foolish, all the unlearned, all the smart. He doesn't care. He wants to favor every single person. And so I look at that and I think, man, that's powerful. Mary was highly favored because God picked her. And you're favored because God's picked you. Amen? But then it doesn't stop there. He goes on and she's terrified. What is this going to mean? I'm a little nervous. I really am nervous because when God comes to me in angelic form and tells me I'm favored and picked by him to be the mother of God and all of this, I'm scared to death what that means. I feel inadequate. I feel challenged. There's not a class at the tech school for mother of God. There's, you know, how do you do this? Where do I go? Is there a small group, you know, that I can attend on how to raise Jesus? I don't know. There's so many challenges to our incapacities. We just don't have the depth for it. And I look at her and I would be just like her. I'd be like, please pick someone else. I'm terrified. But that is the same cry that we hear from many people that God has picked to be used. Moses said, I don't want to go alone. Please, can you send somebody else with me at least? Like Aaron, come on, pick Aaron. Aaron, please, Aaron, Send him with me. Let make him talk. I can't talk. You know, stuff like that. Or what about other men? You know, I think it was a graciousness for Jesus to send disciples two by two. This is just me speculating. I bet you he said to one of them, he goes, all right, I want you to go, and I want you to go spread the gospel. And he went, by myself? And he went, fine, two by two. Everybody go, two by two, okay? I think he just said, for time's sake, let's just send them out two by two, okay? And I look at this, and I think that's our cry today. It's like, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to do this alone. Please help me, send somebody else. I'm like, yeah, send Mikey with me. I look at this and I think, I can relate to that, but here's some prophetic word, and here's why I think she was afraid. In Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35, a prophecy comes about 8 days after. 8 days after Jesus is born, they take him to be blessed and all this, and Simeon, this man of God who's been waiting, praying, looking for the Messiah, he sees this awesome baby, this baby Jesus. And he prays and he blesses them. And he says this to his mother. He says, this child is the reason that many people in Israel will be condemned. Ooh, hear this. This is a strange message, isn't it? This child is the reason that many people will be condemned. That means sentenced to death. Simeon's just prophesying what the word has already said, that he will be a rock that will either be what you build your life upon, or it will be what you stumble and fumble over and crumble on and be crushed by, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to heaven. You've got to either accept this little baby Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you can't spend eternity forever in God's presence. And because of this, it's so challenging. Many people will say, I just don't believe it. I can't accept it. It's not what I want. And then they will be broken. And if they refuse to serve and love Jesus, they've chosen condemnation, even though life has been offered to all freely. They've chosen that. And so Simeon just basically says, this child is the reason that many people in Israel will be condemned, but many others will be saved. Now here's where it comes back to her and why I believe she was fearful. He will be a sign that will expose the thoughts of those who reject him, and a sword will pierce your heart. What does it look like when God favors you? What does it look like when God favors you? You know, when I was a teenager, when I was 16, my parents bought me a car. 1976 Buick Regal. Now that was a beautiful something. That was beautiful. I have words to describe that car, most of which I've repented of and I can't say in public. But I can describe this to you. The interior had about 50 shades of maroon. All kinds of maroon colors. Maroon carpet, and then the carpet on this side was a different color of the maroon carpet on that. And then the plastic paneling on here was a different color maroon than the maroon on there. And I mean, it was just, and then it was like this wonderful wash of maroon on the dashboard. It would go from bright maroon to faded maroon to bright maroon to faded maroon, with an occasional crack here or there. Look at this thing, it was beautiful. I mean, it's the first time I ever really had an appreciation for Naga. You know, Naga hide? I loved it. Loved it. Naga hide is beautiful. The grill, I had to use chicken or baling wire to actually tie it on so it wouldn't fall off. It was awesome. It was in that 76 Buick Regal that I hit my first police car with. Yeah, it was beautiful. I have many great stories in that. I mean, I hit the drunk in the truck. I was driving next to the big transit van, and our mirrors hit each other. I broke their mirror. I just kept going in Jesus' name. I figured if they couldn't catch me, I wouldn't have to pay for it. Yeah, So you guys are looking at me like, you are an evil pastor. I can't come here and listen to you. That was in my old self. Gone are those days. Yeah, that's right. Dead and buried. And I have paid for it in many other ways. What you reap, you sow, young people. Chang, you cannot outrun the law. And but I look at that stuff, and when my mom and dad first gave that car to me, there was such overwhelming joy and excitement. It really was. I remember just being giddy. I was jumping around like a little sprite. I was, I didn't see all that stuff I was talking about. I just loved it. And then I had great stories in it, as painful as they were. Great stories in it. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. But you know what? In our earthly mindset, if that was the only gift that I ever got from my parents, at some point, I would start to go, do they still love me? I don't know. But you know, my gifts from my parents never stopped. They still give. They don't give Buick Regals cars anymore. They do other things. You know, they'd help me fix cars. They help me, you know, paint my house or build a house or repair this or that. They're there when I call them on the phone and I talk to them and stuff. It's amazing, but there's times where they give financial help. There's time where they give just emotional support. There are times where they just do things for my kids. And I look at that, and that's just a gift to me. And it's just not stopped. I don't know what happened to them, but they just think that they have to be giving. And they continue to do this, and at some point in the 40-something years of being their child, I have become convinced of this truth, that they love me. They really do love me. But it's not because of the one gift, the Buick Regal. It's because of that lifestyle of giving that they've proven over every season of life. Now, it's taken a season. Because if I only knew that kind of a gift, I would miss out on the kind of gift of the dark night of the soul, where I was in such need, where I needed somebody to just answer the other line of my phone and pick it up. And when I'm saying, I just don't know what to do, Dad, I don't know what to do. I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. But on the other end of that phone line was an open mind and an open heart. And he would say, son, I just love you. And hey, you know what? I'm thinking about this verse for you. And I'm just going to tell you this. And he begins to encourage me. And at the end of that phone call, whatever it might be, I'm sitting there, I'm going, I'm so thankful that I have a dad who answers the phone and loves me and listens and gives me that. I need that. Thank you, God. And I'm not thanking God because I have a dad who's proven he gives me good things. He loves me. But you know what? It's because I had a dark night of the soul that gave him an opportunity to give that encouragement. And for you and I, and for Mary, she was fearful because she knew when God says you're favored, it's not a one-time gift. It's a gift that's going to be giving in every season of life. And for you and I as a Christian, we miss out if we only believe that Jesus came in the flesh and saved our soul from death and hell and all of that. If that's the only gift we expect from him, salvation, you are sadly missing out on the joy of Christian living. You're sadly missing out on the multifaceted gifts of God because that's what they are. And every angle you look at it fits a different season and a different time in your life. So it doesn't matter if you're going through a time of death and loss. There is this gift of God that's coming right there for you. It doesn't matter if you're in confusion, you don't know, and you're overwhelmed. There's a gift that God has for you to give you whatever you need to get through that. And if you're in ministry and you don't know what the next step is, there's a gift for that. It is amazing. It's like a diamond. Now, Your wife works at the diamond place, you know, jewelry. So she could talk about this better than I can. I've only bought a couple diamonds in my whole life, and she owns them. And, you know, so she's got them. I don't even get them, you know. But I did get a diamond ring from my grandpa one year. It was a diamond that he bought at the death of his second son. His second son was murdered. And after they found his body and all of this, he was murdered, and it was a violent death. Someone came and they attacked him while he worked at the hospital there in his small town. And evidently he got into the wrong crowd and was funneling drugs out of the hospital, and the gangs and the different people that didn't like him or whatever. This young guy was not serving the Lord. And And they put a bag over his head and they wrapped, choked him. And there the police found him in the basement of the hospital with the bag over his head and strangled to death. And it was the darkest time my grandpa Ben ever went through. I remember at the funeral just crying. But it was at that time, one of three times where my grandpa bought special rings. When he came to know Jesus and Jesus transformed his life, he bought a ring. When his first wife died in a horrible car accident and he almost died, when he survived that and God proved his faithfulness, he bought another ring. And then when his son Doug died in that violent way, he got another diamond ring. And one Christmas, my grandpa gave all three to me. And I look at those diamonds and I pull it out and they're so beautiful. One in particular, whenever you hold it into light, it shoots this sparkles everywhere in the whole room where that just goes like this. And I think, how can something so beautiful that I can wear and it marks such wonderful moments in life for me, the gift and the love that was expressed there, but also be the fruit of something that my grandpa went through that was so horrible and painful. But you know what the truth is? I called him from that moment on. I said, Grandpa, you and Grandma represent one thing to me, God's grace. Because you have given all and everything over and over again just to prove that you love me, love us, love everyone. I said, it's unbelievable. I spend many days just crying because of such love and graciousness from him. But I look at that ring and I think that diamond, the biggest diamond in the one ring for when Dougie died, I look at that and I think it's just like God's gifts to you and I. They sparkle differently whenever you turn them in every season of life. They sparkle when you're in college, one way. But when you have kids, they sparkle another. When you lose a job, it sparkles different. When you're getting married, it sparkles different, whatever it is. When you're overwhelmed, when it's depressing and it's in the middle of winter in Wisconsin and you don't see the sun for 3 weeks, it sparkles another way. Whatever it may be, and that to me is a beautiful picture of the grace of God that is multifaceted. And Simeon prophesies to Mary and he says, you are highly favored. And my friend, this is what it means, that you will have the supreme honor to see how God loves mankind. You will get to witness every single phase of God's life. And this is a joy that I hadn't seen about Mary before. But do you realize that Mary, more than anybody else, got to see the incarnation firsthand. Then she got to witness firsthand Christ's ministry on the earth. She was there at the start of the ministry, the changing of the water into wine. She was there as she saw miracles and followed all the others as the disciples hung on every single word that he would say. She watched that. And then not just that, she was there at the foot of the cross. When many of the disciples scattered, she was there at that moment of the cross. The moment that all history hinges on. The moment where everything changed. It changed, the calendar changed, everything changed around that moment. She was there. And then she was there after he was resurrected. She got to see her son resurrected in a glorified body. How many of us would love to see that? I would love to have seen that. She got to see it, but she had to endure everything up to there, didn't she? Multifaceted. It's a diamond. The gift God gave her that shows she was favored was multifaceted. But not just that. She was there watching the ascension. Acts tells us. She was there. They left the Mount Olive. She was there on Mount Olive as he ascended into heaven and the clouds covered him. Can you imagine having witnessed every phase of God's favor towards mankind? Being the one highly favored person to have that privilege. Paul the Apostle didn't get that. Peter didn't get that. James, John didn't get that. Mary got that. We don't see anything about, you know, that earthly father Joseph. There's speculation. He probably died. So he didn't even get to see that ascension. He didn't get to see that. And you know what else? Mary was there in that upper room waiting. And she wasn't just there in that upper room waiting. She was there a part of the early church, and she was in the custody of those people who ran the early church. John was like her surrogate son, taking care of her. Now she gets to see the very body of Christ providing everything she needs. God favored Mary in such a way, from birth to her death, she got the one privilege to see how awesome God's grace is. I didn't tell you this. Those two words, favor, have a meaning. Visitation of God's favor. Yeah, you can come on up. Visitation of God's favor. Think about that. In every facet of Mary's life, God promised through Gabriel's mouth, you're going to be highly favored. You couldn't hide, Mary. You couldn't hide in little Nazareth. You couldn't hide in the corner. I'm going to pick you out, call you out by name, and I'm going to favor you in every point of your life. You're going to be right there. I'm going to be right there with you, and I'm going to be visiting you with my favor. I'm going to be visiting you with my favor. In your darkest moments, right there at the cross, I'm visiting you with my favor. When you think everything's lost, I'm going to be visiting you with my favor. And then after I'm ascended, I'm visiting you with favor. And you're waiting in the upper room, I'm visiting you with favor. And then when you're depending on the body of Christ to supply whatever you need, I'm visiting you with favor. And here's the promise. Here's the promise for you and I. This is what you and I take home today, okay? I don't know what you need. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what calling God's placed on all of your lives. I know some of yours. I know some of your callings. I do know this generically. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah says it, and it's to prosper you, not to harm you in any way. God's got a good plan for you. The psalmist said, God's written a story, and it's your story. He knows it from start to finish, and it's a great story. You just have to submit to his story arc, his outline, and let him write it in your life. You submit to it, you surrender to it, you're gonna have an amazing life, but it's gonna be filled with all kinds of circumstances. Mountaintops and valleys, but God will favor you in every single one of them, amen? And so what you need to do with this message, if you're willing, think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and put yourself in her shoes and believe that God picks you and will favor you. Can you say today, what Gabriel said of Mary, you're highly favored. You are highly favored. Yes, you too. You, tree cutter, hard worker, daddy extraordinaire, highly favored. Every single one of you. Do you believe that? Doesn't depend on your past. Doesn't depend on your performance today. It doesn't depend on what you plan tomorrow. It really only depends on how good he is. But with this knowledge, here's what happens. The end of this verse, section that I read, verse 37, it says, for nothing is impossible with God. And I don't care what the mountain is before you. I don't care what obstacles you might face in life or it might seem overwhelming. If you allow the favor of God to be resting on your life and you receive it in faith, you will let this permeate your soul. It will season you like beef. It'll be like godly brisket. Now I'm hungry. It'll be like the best tasting meal with the Savior of the world. And what God will do in you is convince your soul that nothing is impossible with God. Mountains can be moved. Healings, miracles, transformation, all kinds of stuff. Because you simply believe you're favored of God. Would you stand with me this morning in prayer? I just want to bless you and then kick you out of my church. So you can have some cookies and some coffee and go enjoy the Christmas season. But before we do that, there might be somebody in this church where you just need some one-on-one ministry. You might need some one-on-one encouragement. And you know what? That's why we're here. We're here as your brothers and sisters in the Lord for that one reason. We want to love you. We want to be here for you. We want to pray with you. If you're going through something that's a worry or an anxiousness to you, Petrae and I have been saying this to each other. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And if you've got something that's been worrying you, bring it to the altar this morning. Shame on you if you don't. Come on. Come on out of here. All right? Take it down to the altar and just pray. And if you're going, oh, it's not that big. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to bring it down to the altar and pray with John and Becky. John, you're my favorite. Becky, you are too. So, it's so funny. So the altars are open. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. And I ask for you to impress upon every heart in this place that we are highly favored. Love supremely. And through you, we can do all things because of that favor, that grace, every moment of every day, shining like a multifaceted diamond. And that's what I pray. It sparkles in our hearts today as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' precious name. Be blessed. You have a great day. Come down for prayer if you need that.
Your gospel.